What's going on, everyone? Joe and Mike back again, buildassetsonline.com. Today we have a very, very special guest, Dominic Keenan, Vice President of Sales at ClickBank. If you don't know what ClickBank is, it's one of the, if not the biggest affiliate offer network on the website, or sorry, on the internet. When I first journeyed into trying to make money online back in like 2014, ClickBank was one of the first things that comes up. And it's been a huge, huge mystery to me up until lately, and now actually a decent part of our online portfolio is with sites that make money through ClickBank. But I want to talk to Dominic today about the affiliate side of ClickBank, what affiliates are doing, and how, you know, affiliate commissions are being generated through ClickBank. Because I feel like for someone new out there that's just searching, I think it'll help clarify a lot of things that maybe are, might be hard to understand if you're just browsing the internet and you don't get it. So welcome to the show, Dominic.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Good to join you.
Our pleasure.
It's me.
So just for a little bit of context, Dominic, I want to explain how we use ClickBank, and then I want you to kind of go into how other people are doing it. And I'll tell you a few things that have piqued my interest. So, you know, we make niche sites that are driven by SEO. So, you know, for example, I know one of the most popular offers on ClickBank is like a woodworking plans thing, right?
Mm-hmm. So Ted's plans.
Yeah. So if we were going to do that, you know, we would make a site around woodworking, type in, you know, we'd try and rank pages for like, how do I make a boat out of wood or something like that, mm-hmm. where it's a relevant query. And then we could say, hey, you know, this is how you make a boat out of wood. If you want like more woodworking plans, check this out. So that's how we do it. And we make sites that generate consistent revenue month over month with ClickBank offers. So that's one way to do it. But I know there are just countless ways to generate traffic to make money through ClickBank. So can you kind of walk us through what people are doing, and specifically what some of the biggest affiliates are doing?
Yeah, it's a great question. The easiest way to get in, typically, I mean, I've heard that many times, is people start making money with niche sites, just like you described. And there's ClickBank has what we call an affiliate marketplace. So there's basically a ranking of all the offers that are available to be promoted, and they're ranked based on how they perform on affiliate traffic. So we exclude, like, if let's say the vendor is promoting their own offer, we exclude their traffic out of that, because that's not cold affiliate traffic. That they already have a warm audience there, and we want to provide accurate data. But as you search through the marketplace, you'll see that there's a wide variety of offers out there. So you may be really comfortable building your example with Ted's plans, which Ted's plans is actually one of my favorite offers that we run. It's been around for a long time and very successful, but you may feel very comfortable writing everything that you need for that niche site on how to build a boat out of wood, and getting that to rank. That works very well and is a great way to start building business on ClickBank. Beyond that, most of our largest affiliates that are, you know, in the tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars a day are doing one of two things. One, scaled paid media, whether that's Facebook ads, native ads, display. Then we've got a lot of people that are promoting via email. Email marketing is still highly successful. It really, oddly enough, took off during the pandemic, where people are sitting at home, they're reading more of their email, right? Cruising Facebook, whatever it may be. And so these email marketers are collecting lists, kind of like your niche site, opt in for a copy of the plans on how to build this wood boat. You've captured that person's email, and you know one data point, which is their interest in woodworking. So there's other products out there to promote. I'm not even talking specifically about ClickBank either. Like, you might want to go on to ShareASale. If they're going to build a wood boat, they probably need some tools and whatever it may be from a more traditional retailer, Amazon, right? Like, this is the DeWalt drill I use to build my wood boat. So there's more ways to monetize it between that. But circling back, the guys at the largest scale are primarily in paid media and email.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because we actually just did a couple of videos about, it's all about harnessing an audience, right? So if you're doing woodworking, you want to be able to bring them in and sell them on that woodworking, those plans. But yeah, you should also have, say, the affiliate through Share a Sale. And we're actually working on a similar thing right now with our students in a different niche. But Joe, do you have any other questions before I go off on a tangent?
Yeah, there's a lot that you just mentioned, Dominic, that really piques my interest because this is stuff that we don't do. I mentioned we build the niche sites. But you're talking about how your biggest affiliates use things like Facebook ads, native display ads. So we're thinking like that's like Taboola or like the stuff you see, like if you're on like a new site, like under, you know, some of the things that look a little bit crazy, right? Those native ads.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have email marketing. So when I hear that, you know, we're into flipping websites. So it's very appealing to me, the idea that you can have a site that's a niche site that's ranking on Google, and then you can scale it up, you know, using this kind of thing. So you have multiple traffic sources and a higher multiple for a website. So to delve into that a little deeper, you know, you said email. How are people building like a big, how are people getting a list of a lot of people to email without, like, how are they capturing those emails? Are they buying email lists from some sort of source? How does that exactly work?
Sometimes, you know, going back to your example, on the niche site, if you're giving away something for free or incentivizing that interested traffic to provide your email or to provide the email to you, that's, you know, that's the fastest way. Then beyond that, if you're selling something, you're collecting emails all the time, and all of those have interest data points, which, you know, you might have a niche site that's teaching people how to build boats, and then a niche site on yoga, right? All of that's valuable because you have customer lists from that or opt-in lists from that, which can either be marketed to directly via email or can be used to create like audiences within Facebook. Now, when it comes to native ads, the targeting is a little different. You're not going to be able to target down to that level like you can with Facebook, obviously. But capturing that email is very, very valuable. Even if you're not a professional email marketer, right? The data point itself is critical.
Right. So would you say a lot of the people that are making a lot of affiliate commissions through ClickBank via email, they might have a site that's getting lots and lots of traffic with a specific demographic that, you know, they're just getting that email, and then they might have a huge, huge sequence of different offers down the line. Is that typically how it works?
Yeah, often it'll start with a Tripwire free offer. Actually, one of the best Tripwire offers that collected millions of emails on ClickBank. It hasn't been around for a while, but it was a survival offer for a free credit card knife. And I think you had to pay like $2 for shipping. But this knife, it's like the shape of a credit card, right? And then you like fold it up, and then you have a knife. And the idea is you can like cut your seatbelt off if you're in a car wreck or something, was the pitch there. They were breaking even on that, but the whole point was that they didn't really care if they made money on the credit card knife. They knew that they had kind of this like more survival interested list that they were building really, really quickly. And then they had in-house, they had one guy who that was his job, was to write email copy specifically to this audience. But beyond that, they were also taking paid affiliate promotions to it. They were monetizing that email list that they were creating, via Facebook ads, because they were able to target very well. So it's beyond just the email sequence itself. Well, you got to have a good autoresponder that follows up and monetizes that list directly to your business. There's other avenues to monetize it as well, primarily ads and affiliate promotions.
I see. So with that Tripwire offer, just because I'm a little confused, are you saying that that's something that a ClickBank vendor had, or that individual affiliates were using to get emails?
So the ClickBank vendor had it, but it was to generate a list so that he could operate as an affiliate. That's primarily what his business was at the time, was to operate as an affiliate. in order to generate a big list and get a lot of affiliate traffic, he was acquiring that traffic with this Tripwire offer.
Wow. Sorry, I'm a little bit confused. So the $2 credit card knife, was that a product from the ClickBank vendor itself, or was it something the affiliate did in order to capture that audience to use that ClickBank vendor?
Yeah, the second part. He created that product specifically to capture an audience and then leverage that audience as an affiliate elsewhere.
So do you know like where he created that or any insight on that?
Man, this is like 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It sticks out in my mind because we had a bunch of samples laying around the office and I got mine taken away by TSA a couple of years ago. I totally forgot it was in my bag. I don't remember where it sold through ClickBank, but I don't remember the name of the offer.
So the credit card sold through ClickBank too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So
combined two things together.
Yeah. So this is somebody that's looking to build an audience to promote to. So he wants to leverage this audience as an affiliate, but to generate that audience quickly, the Tripwire offer built up that email list in the course of a couple months. I mean, we're talking about, 100,000 emails in a couple months for relatively cheap. He knew he was going to break even on the credit card knife, but that the list was immensely valuable post-purchase.
Wow. That's actually pretty incredible. It sounds like so simple, but that's actually a pretty interesting insight. I didn't know that people built an email list that way just to be an affiliate. So the purpose of the Tripwire, the fact that it costed money, was actually just to break even, right? So that he can build a list at, break even cost and then monetize that email list forever. So he's skipping the whole point about building a website and waiting for traffic from Google and all that kind of stuff. He just went straight to building the email list and sending emails through that.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. All the value was, in the outlying day. It would be like day 30 and day 60. There was zero day one value, if not even slightly negative.
Right. So in order to execute this properly, you would have to know, okay, there's this many survival offers on ClickBank. I'm going to build this list. And they probably have the sequence built out ahead of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Everything was planned out.
Yeah. So kind of a different example, but the same model would be like your idea of how to build a wood boat, and you're basically promoting Ted's plans. Mm-hmm. Ted's plans could be in the sequence, the customer journey, but ahead of that, is there some type of tripwire or something that would induce the traffic to give us their email so we can capture, we the affiliate can capture that email in advance? I'm trying to think of something for a woodworker, like get your free utility knife or something like that, or just pay shipping and handling. Now you control that person's email. You have the ability to remarket to them. And then they're probably still interested in Ted's plans, right? Like we've already figured out that they clicked on a boat building site, right? and stayed with it. So you're also still able to monetize them. But if you're capturing that email before you send them off to the vendor, then you're building an asset.
When you say the asset, the asset is the email list,
correct.
So it's basically the same, just so I'm not confused. You basically said, you could do that with anything. You could do that with, doesn't have to be a survival credit card. It could be a woodworking knife, like a whittling knife or whatever. You're just saying you could do that with any sort of offer, right?
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be a physical product either. It could be, a little ebook on how to get started woodworking or something. And that's
what
you generate the email list.
Yeah, you beat me to it, Mike. That is a pain in the ass to set up because now you got to set up fulfillment and everything and merchant processing and all that. It could be just as simple as, hey, here's the my ebook, top 10 tips on what you need to know before you start woodworking. But if at any point you are able to capture that, then you're adding value to your business, able to remarket to them instead of just sending them directly to the vendor and kind of goodbye. We're never going to see him again.
Right.
Right. And that was something that I think it took us very long to understand because, yeah, ClickBank is something you see a lot when I think you just start looking for ways to make money online, because in theory, it does have this really simple concept of you don't need a product. You don't really need anything. You just give someone an affiliate link and then they can go and buy. And then all of a sudden you get a commission kickback. But mm-hmm. in reality, when you go and try and just give, like just throw the link out there and it's not done in a planned way, it doesn't necessarily pan out. So what you're harping on, and again, something we've been trying to talk about more recently, is thinking about the capturing of a particular demographic so that you can continually market to them, whether it's woodworking or whether it's yoga, and doing that through affiliate or physical products or et cetera. Mm-hmm. So on that note, how do you feel people should be going into ClickBank and looking for offers? Like the survival guy, he must have realized, okay, there's actually a bunch of really high performing survival offers, so it's worthwhile for me to do this credit card knife endeavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we get this question a lot, because oftentimes the idea that people come into the marketplace with is, I'm going to go look and see what the top offer is, because that top offer must convert really well. And it certainly does convert really well. That's obviously why it's at the top, but also that means there's a lot of competition for it. Whether it's emails or paid media, people have probably seen it at this point. And you're competing with other people. So what I recommend people do is look at the first several pages of the marketplace. All of those are converting offers. Just one is at a much higher scale and has attracted a lot more affiliates than the other. You know, if you're great at writing copy and building pages around this woodworking niche, you're going to have a really hard time selling that yoga product. So find something that's adjacent to either what you're already doing or what you're already comfortable writing about or creating pages about, ads, email copy, whatever it may be, because everything in those first, you know, several hundred offers is going to be something that is converting. You don't have to just pick something that's the top or the first page.
Okay. Because I think people get the idea sometimes that, I mean, we can talk, you know, down the road about like what it takes to put up an affiliate offer, or sorry, a vendor offer, and be selling on ClickBank. Because I think probably a misconception is these lower ranking offers are not that high quality, or maybe, yeah, they just don't work. So there is a lot that depends on the offer, right? Because it has to be a good product. It has to be, you know, a good price point and whatever they're doing to bring in the customer after you send that customer to them, it has to work out. So you're basically saying, you know, if it's on the top pages for that category, it is converting in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a way to see how well it converts?
Yeah. So ClickBank scores sorts its marketplace primarily by two different ways. One is popularity, which is basically you could infer traffic volume from that, or sales volume from that. The other is gravity, which is a ClickBank metric. It's been around long before I came here, but gravity attempts to infer several different data points. Among those is how many affiliates are successfully earning commission promoting this offer. So let's take, for example, there's some that need to score low on gravity. One would be an offer that's really attractive for affiliates, but doesn't convert. They're not earning commissions on it. So we intentionally want that to score low. Another would be one that has, you know, say 3,000 affiliates promoting it. On average, they're making 1 to 2 sales a week. That means that it's converting for a broad audience. So that second example would score really high on gravity. But as I mentioned before, it's just because it has a high gravity score, you can infer that there will be some competition for that offer.
Right. Because I guess my follow-up question to that would be, you know, just because something converts well or doesn't convert well, doesn't necessarily speak to the offer itself, because it could be the yoga person trying to market the woodworking plans to their yoga clients, right? So you could have the greatest woodworking offer in the world. It's probably still not going to work well. So I like the gravity thing, because I guess if you have a lot of affiliates and they all seem to be making sales, you can infer that it's working for a variety of audiences,
mm-hmm.
right? Or like a variety of affiliates who may have a whole range of demographics.
Yeah, and I would add too, it provides a little bit of safety for the affiliate, where if we just ranked it based on how well it sells, you might have an offer that is performing really high volume because there's one or two excellent media buyers on top of it that have just scaled, you know, traffic to the moon. You're not going to be able to compete with it. And that's why that gravity metric's really important. In the end, you care more about how it converts on affiliate traffic than just pure scale.
So do you think, you know, I'm thinking like you're talking about competition and stuff. Do you think like so I'll go back to this woodworking plans, for example, do you think like a ClickBank offer can get too saturated, or if you're with, you know, I'm going to go create my own tripwire to promote this woodworking plan. As long as my tripwire is good and I can collect the email, you know, mm-hmm. I still feel like does competition matter in that regard? Like, where does too much competition become a problem?
Saturation will happen with the very top offers in the marketplace. So we're talking about offers that are making several hundred thousand, if not over $1 million in sales a day. At that point, so right now I think it's a supplement offer that's at the top of the market. At some point, people who are interested will have either seen it and they either bought it or they didn't. The internet is a big place, but when you're at that kind of volume, they tend to peak. So an offer at that type of volume, usually, you know, 6 to 8 months into that run rate, will start to peak and another offer will come up and replace it. Now, when you're talking about Ted's plans, like I said, this is my favorite offer on ClickBank. If you take a look at that, it's been around, I believe, since 2011, 12, something like that. Very steady offer. It's not reaching that level of scale where it's at, you know, $500,000, $1 million a day, but it is very consistently hundreds of sales a day for the past 12 years. So that offer, unless something very dramatic happened, would not reach saturation. And so I wouldn't worry about it if you were building a niche site around something like that. That's a much more long-term evergreen offer.
Right. And is it just because with something like that, probably new people are getting into woodworking all the time? Yep. It's not like, I don't know. I guess new people are getting into taking supplements all the time, but I guess that's just a different thing, I guess, you know. Those email lists are well established because it's just so general.
Yeah. Yeah. And you see that. I mean, you see that in more different direct to consumer markets, right? Like infomercials, for example, or whatever's on the end cap at the grocery store for the supplements. From year to year, it will change and rebrand. All of those have reached saturation. Whereas the more niche offer, like you said, there are constantly people who are becoming interested in it, and it's just never going to be the size where it's saturated out.
Right.
So is there a way to track where, say, an offer may be at in terms of that process? Because you talked about the supplement one, and it's like, I can't do $1 million a day forever. It's going to peak at some point, and then it's going to die down, and then it's going to basically not be as good as it was, you know, a few months ago. So can you tell that that's happening in ClickBank, so you don't go and try and sell this supplement to someone that's, you know, they've already seen it a million times because it already hit its peak and died down?
Yeah, it'll start to lose ranking in the marketplace. You know, it'll fall from 1 to 5, fall off the first page. And this isn't something, so Mike, this isn't something that happens like in a week. It might peak in month 8 and it'll still have several months of runway at high volume. But it takes, it'll take a tumble in the marketplace over time. There isn't a great way to see it without actually just looking at the marketplace, or, you know, if you're connected with us, you can always reach out and we can say, oh, this is what we're seeing for earnings on it. We usually back into an earnings per click number just to give everybody a broad number. And then, we also publish on our YouTube channel, the, top 10 top offers of the month, and they'll dive into the stats on that. And that's just pulled straight from what's performing. It's not the 10 top offers that we wish were performing. These are the actual numbers behind it. And usually they'll reference, EPC for it. So you'll see over time, EPCs will either rise and fall with those big scaled offers.
And that's earnings per click for people that are just, you know, new to this and starting. As one of the funny things about when you're first getting started is you might get overwhelmed with acronyms. So, but
you're so right, Joe. We actually have a glossary that I still refer to, but we give it to every new employee because this industry loves its acronyms.
Yeah. So Dominic, you know, we've talked about what we do with the niche sites, which I think is only scratching the surface of the possibility of ClickBank. We kind of just stumbled in. No one really taught us how to do that. I kind of just stumbled into it because I understood SEO. I understood search intent. I was looking for affiliate offers. Naturally, I went to ClickBank and I just thought, oh shit, you know, we can match these two things up. That was my thought. And then we've talked about you've kind of showed the audience and showed us, frankly, what some of the bigger affiliates are doing. So say you're just getting started out in this world, you don't have any streams of online income, and you want to get started and you're being drawn to being an affiliate through ClickBank. Can you kind of walk us through, like, what are the first 1 to 3, 1 to 5 steps you should take?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I would create a ClickBank account, clickbank.com, but I would browse the marketplace several pages deep and look at exactly what the angle is on the pitch pages, because these vendors, right, they've been selling this stuff for a long time. They know what they're doing. So what is the angle they're taking and how are you going to modify that? So if we're talking about creating niche sites, and I think, Joe, your example is perfect. That how to build a wood boat is very much more niche down from what Ted's plans is, because Ted's is kind of this broader woodworking thing. Where does your skill as an affiliate or creator of niche sites or email copy, however you're sourcing traffic, work with that? There's a broad set of categories that ClickBank does well in. Beyond that, to be honest with you, if it were me getting started in this, I wouldn't narrow myself down to just ClickBank. Like, we've got some great offers too, but if you're looking in there and you're like, I've browsed 10 pages of this and this just isn't my thing, there are a bunch of affiliate networks out there. Actually, if you guys have time for a quick example, some of these more niche affiliate networks, there's one in Salt Lake City or Park City, Utah, called AvantLink. And they do everything outdoors, right? So if your thing is hunting and you're creating a niche site about hunting, AvantLink is your place. And I would just say, make sure you're comfortable with what you're promoting, that you're able to create great content around it. Don't feel like you have to, oh, this one's on the, you know, first page of ClickBank's marketplace. We hope you do business with ClickBank, but if we don't have the right thing for you, there is a bunch of places out there to be an affiliate as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I think, again, you know, Joe talked about, we knew about ClickBank for many, many years before we actually started making like a decent amount of money with it. And I think it was because when people start out with internet marketing, they see ClickBank and they're like, oh, this is an easy way to make money. But in reality, it's actually not that easy. And it's a lot more subtle, because while you could just, you know, get people onto an email list and just send them a link, there's a lot of complication to that. And that's, number one, putting out an email offer through paid traffic, and getting that in through a high converting offer. Like, not everyone is going to think of the credit card knife. Like that is some seriously advanced marketing skills. There's also the copywriting for email and for the advertising and stuff like that. And so I think for us, that was a big roadblock to getting started with ClickBank. Mm-hmm. And then when we discovered dropshipping, we found it to be a lot easier way to make money as a beginner because you don't need copy. Say in the woodworking example, people are already searching for band saws for a garage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much easier to run like a Google ad, like a Google shopping ad for these band saws. They come in, it's exactly what they need. They buy it. You don't need the copy skills and you can make a decent commission or a decent margin on it. You know, we're talking like hundreds of dollars to thousands of dollars. And so a lot of our audience is dropshipping. I think if they're doing this, ClickBank is a great way to add even more revenue to their back end, because if they have a woodworking website where they're selling all these expensive saws and tools and stuff, they're already coming in, they're getting on your email list. And now after they purchase, you can hit them with a sequence of, hey, here's some woodworking plans, you know, and then just kind of go through the list of woodworking offers and continually use that as a way to monetize that customer.
Yeah. And I think I built a dropshipping business with another guy a couple of years ago, and we were pushing out offers post-purchase. But I am not a great copywriter. I used to work at a bank. I used to be an analyst at a bank. I write like very analytical, kind of these are the facts, ma'am, type copy, right? Nobody wants to read that. And it converts terrible. So what we ended up doing, and I see a lot of other people doing this, is I got on every email list I could find that was associated with anybody in the industry we were in. And I know this happens quite a bit. So ClickBank's very, very heavy in the health and fitness market. All the biggest marketers are on everybody else's list. And you want like proof of something working well, it's what they're emailing out. And if they're emailing out offers consistently, then that offer is converting. But more importantly, it was great inspiration for how to write copy and what to talk about with the audience. Cause I just, you know, I hope there's other people out there like this. Like, I don't know what we're going to talk about next, right? In this email copy or whatever it needed to be for the site. So it's not spying on somebody else. It's gathering inspiration from those guys. So if your niche is health and fitness, for example, I would go find every opt-in I could find around that category.
Interesting.
Right.
And I know.
Go ahead. I was just kind of making the point that something like writing copy, I think, is a learned skill. Mm-hmm. And it could take a year or two to really be able to hone in and write good copy that like captures an audience and converts well. So I think doing it through like the high ticket dropshipping method where you're acquiring the customer first without having to be an expert at the copy stuff allows you to kind of learn that skill at a profit because you've already acquired that customer. So now anything you get from here is already a win. You've already, you know, you've already won. Your business is not depending on having written that great copy that when you go and you put that on Facebook market or Facebook ads, it converts well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. They say, okay, I'm going to make this offer and I'm going to put it on Facebook and it's going to get all these leads and I'm going to have this whole email sequence set up. And the problem is, they go and they do that and they start running the ads and then nothing happens or they're not getting good enough results. And now they haven't created like a good foundation of a business to where if that doesn't make money, it's like, oh shit, I'm just going to shut this down and I got to like restart and do something else. Whereas again, with dropshipping stuff, there's like, you're creating a foundational business to work from and then you can keep, you know, sharpening the sword until you're really, really good at the copy.
Yeah, that's really where, you know, I feel like the dropshipping store and the niche site kind of serves the same purpose as you have the relevant traffic coming in already. So it's kind of like the training wheels. I remember back in the day I did, again, this is like 2014, 2015, I was on ClickBank. I tried to do something with like Doggy Dan. I had no idea what I was doing. I just, I don't know. It was just looking back on it, what I did was so stupid. Like, it made no sense. But, you know, I know we're running low on time, Dominic. I wanted to ask you two questions to wrap up, because I think this is very important. Now, we tried to promote a survival offer on ClickBank to an audience that we had from a dropshipping store. Mm-hmm. And this one, I don't know if this is necessarily because of the offer itself or because of the copy of the email that we used. The email provider we were using didn't like the fact that we were like pushing survivalist stuff. I think it was like a knife of some sort, and mm-hmm. they weren't happy with that. So they kind of banned our account, and it was kind of a hassle. So is there a particular autoresponder you recommend for that kind of thing, like survival stuff?
So some of the ESPs, the email platforms, are sensitive to affiliate promotions in general. MailChimp is notorious for this, mm-hmm. which I get it. That's their business. When I'm recommending an email platform, I'm a big fan of Sendlane. The owner and founder of Sendlane is a guy named Jimmy Kim, who comes from this world of marketing and was just kind of tired of dealing with ESPs and decided to build his own. Really gets fantastic reviews. I know dozens of clients that use it, and I'm a big fan.
Okay. And second question, you know, we've talked about the roadblocks to becoming a great ClickBank affiliate, the copy generating and, you know, buying the traffic and how to do that. Are there any resources? Does ClickBank have any like resources, paid or free, that, you know, would guide mm-hmm. someone from, you know, zero to being able to do everything that we talked about?
Yeah, we got asked a lot about that, and we last year launched ClickBank Spark. So Spark is there's modules within it, both for the affiliate side and for the vendor side, depending on what you're interested in. But their goal is to help our clients build businesses from sign up to them starting to receive a paycheck from ClickBank. And we actually in-house the team around that instead of outsourcing it. We used to have somebody outside of the company do it. Brought it in-house so that they can, you know, use the studio that I'm recording from, great content. And then they get feedback and questions all the time. So they're right next to the person that knows the answer. If it's a problem with the platform, can fix it. And it's really turned into a great product.
Cool. Is that a paid product? Is that free? How does that work?
There's several modules that are free, and then the more advanced module, it's kind of like broken up like university courses. And mm-hmm. I think the 100 modules are free, and then the 200 and 300 modules are paid.
Cool.
And I want to say it's like, I don't remember off the top of my head. I think it's like $35. It's not super expensive.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I know you have a cutoff now, right? So, it's been a fantastic interview. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for checking, you know, thanks for coming on the show. Any last words?
No, thanks for having me, guys. Like I always love getting a chance to talk to guys like you. Like I would have stayed in banking, except for I love chatting with entrepreneurs. So thanks for having me.
Fantastic. And we'll see you next time, guys. Take it easy.